Blog Talk Radio.
Several different symptoms or a disease process that seems to be getting progressively worse? Have you been discouraged with traditional medical treatment and you're wondering why your health is not improving? Today's guest has a solution that has already helped thousands of people to heal from seemingly incurable diseases. Stay tuned to find out more. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Touch Heal Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond, as long as we remain healthy. Dr. Tom O'Brien is best-selling author of the groundbreaking book, this new book that's coming out, The Autoimmune Fix, and he's a world expert on gluten and its impact on your health. Founder of thedoctor.com and host of, the doctor.com website, and host of the Gluten Summit, A Grain of Truth, and the more recent summit, Betrayal, the Autoimmune Disease Solution They're Not Telling You, that's still available for half price for one more day. He is enlightening the world about what has become an epidemic of illness that can be halted and even cured, often without having to take medications or surgeries that may have severely negative side effects. Dr. O'Brien holds teaching faculty positions with the Institute for Functional Medicine and the National University of Health Sciences. He continues to teach, train, and certify thousands of practitioners around the world about the impact of wheat sensitivity and the development of individual autoimmune diseases. A few weeks ago, I watched this amazing documentary about the discovery that underlying most disease processes is a common factor, autoimmunity, a weakness in our immune system causing our immune system to fight and even destroy some of our own healthy cells. So I was delighted when I realized I would have the opportunity to speak directly with the host of that powerful event. I have so many questions for my own health and for that of my clients and colleagues and friends, so I'm really so happy to welcome you, Dr. Tom O'Brien.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's start right away with you telling us about your background and training, and I asked you before, and I would love you to share, what is a functional medicine doctor? How does someone become that? Why do we need that? So tell about your training and then your practice and what led to your becoming a functional medicine doctor.
Oh my goodness, that started when I was in my internship 36 years ago, and my ex and I could not get pregnant. So I called the seven most famous holistic doctors I'd ever heard of and asked them what they do for infertility. They all told me what they do. I put a program together. We were pregnant in 6 weeks. my neighbors in married housing, we lived on campus at the time, they asked if I'd work with them, that she had been through artificial insemination and nothing had worked. And I said, well, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt you. Sure, why not? She was pregnant in 3 months. So before I got out in practice, I was hot to trot to help every couple get pregnant that wanted to get pregnant. And over the years,
wow,
we've helped many, many, many couples. And there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this is an every. In my clinical practice, what I've discovered is that this is an every. Every person that has hormone-related problems, everyone, whether it's low testosterone for men and they've got kidney and bladder problems, or is it too much estrogen, high estrogen dominance for women, and they've got premenstrual syndrome or perimenopausal symptoms because hormones are way out of balance. Every single person with hormones out of balance, it didn't matter how it manifested, they all had as a part, as a component of their problem, that they were eating foods that their body said was a problem for them, and they were eating them anyway. And what they don't realize, and Mrs. Patient, every degenerative disease is a disease of inflammation. At the cellular level, the cell is always on fire. It just depends. Is it a kidney cell or a brain cell? And is it gasoline or kerosene causing the fire? But the mechanism is always inflammation. Cardiovascular disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, kidney disease, diabetes, it's always inflammation. So if you step back, if we all just realize that basic fact of science and you step back, it doesn't matter what your symptoms are to consider this. It doesn't matter if you have cancer or if you have early dementia. It doesn't matter if you have knee pain or if you have hormone imbalances. When
or
you,
if you
think
have multiple
about
sclerosis. You showed
a
wonderful interview,
right,
with someone. Yes.
Yes, yes. We had three patients in Betrayal who shared their stories of reversing their MS, their multiple sclerosis. So it doesn't matter what the presentation is, what the manifestation is. This basic concept is true for all diseases. And people don't think like this. Doctors don't think like this. They haven't been trained to think of this bigger picture. So the first rule of thumb when you're dealing with inflammation, however it's manifesting, the first rule of thumb is stop throwing gasoline on the fire. So what does that mean? Well, that means if you have a sensitivity to a food, if your immune system says you do the right blood tests and your immune system says you got a problem with this food, it doesn't matter if you feel sick when you eat the food or not. That if you're fueling the fire of inflammation, it may cause more blood vessel problems in your brain and you get your migraines. Or
and I
the
have
inflammation.
A question right in there. You just said something that's very important that I want to say. You may not have symptoms. So you may go out to a restaurant and say weed is the problem and you're eating bread and you're not bothered by it. You don't have a stomach ache. You just said that. You may not have symptoms.
Exactly. Exactly. Good catch. Good catch. The lucky people are the ones that get stomach pain and GI upset when they eat the food. They're lucky because they say, oh, I ate this and I feel like that. I feel terrible.
Wait a second. They're not so lucky because they go and they take a Prilosec or some kind of medication to suppress it. So they don't
They're lucky in that their body is talking to them. They're foolish because they're not listening. So they're lucky.
Yes.
You know, let's talk turkey here. You people want to get well or not? You know, you can't throw gasoline on the fire and then think a little fire extinguisher called Prilosec is going to fix it. You want to know about Prilosec? Just go to Google and type in side effects of Prilosec and it'll drop your jaw. All of the side effects. Just go to Google. You don't have to go to the scientific journals, and you'll find the articles from the scientific journals that were in magazines where the writers read the scientific journals and they interpreted it for us. Just you know, it's so easy to get the information. So you're lucky if you eat something and it makes your gut feel bad. And you're foolish if you don't listen. And then you wonder, how come I'm getting dementia? How come I can't think as well as I can't remember the way I used to? Ha ha, I must be getting older. Oh, really? How old are you? Well, I'm 38. No, that's not supposed to happen. Right? You know, listen.
And I have a friend who's 87, and she's very clear thinking. And there were some people on my summit, 92, totally clear thinking.
Yes, read The Blue Zone. Read the book The Blue Zone, and you see what our human potential is and where people all over the world are living to their potential in their 80s, 90s, over 100, still living independently, still working, still of value to society, still making a contribution. It's called The Blue Zones. I mean, that is the book. You put the pedal to the metal, and you want to see where the rubber meets the road. That's where it is in The Blue Zones. Read The Blue Zones. It doesn't matter if you take vitamin C or not. It doesn't matter if you have a better form of vitamin D. What matters, do you have a long, functional life, right? And so, of course, vitamin C is important, and vitamin D is important. Of course those vitamins are important. Of course they are. But stop looking for the pill, take a step back, and stop throwing gasoline on the fire.
And just to clarify, the Blue Zones was, they had interviewed centenarians and super centenarians around the world, and they picked certain areas in the world where they had a predominance of these centenarians and super centenarians, and they wanted to find out what they had done to help them live that long and remain healthy.
That's exactly right. And they knew, you know, our researchers knew that, like, the Hunzas or the people that live in Sardinia and some of the villages in Sardinia or in a peninsula in Costa Rica or in Okinawa, that there's these subgroups of people that live long, productive, vibrant lives. And they said, well, how come there's so many of you people over 100 here? You know, and so they started studying this, and they put a map of the world up, and they circled all these places where they found high concentrations of these elders. And they used a blue highlighter. That's why they call it Blue Zones. Yeah, I thought maybe, it's the sky. They have lots of clear blue skies. No, they used a blue highlighter. That's a cute little side note. But it is. But that's where you see the rubber meets the road. And in our culture today, we all live in the laser lane of life. Whether you want to or not, you live in the laser lane of life. And people are driving their bodies like they drive their car. If they drove their car in third gear floored on the highway, 55 miles an hour is about as fast as you can go, and the engine's screaming and the transmission's screaming. But if you shift into fourth gear and then into fifth gear, now you're going 70 and it's very smooth. What kind of a senior life do you want? Do you want to run in third gear floored, or do you want to be in fifth gear cruising? You know, it's really time to talk turkey. I was on a plane 4 weeks ago with my wife. We were coming back from Austin, and I was reading the newspaper, and there was an article from the World Wildlife Fund, and in conjunction with two major universities, they just published that there has been a 57% reduction of all wildlife on the planet since 1970. And I said, oh, that's too bad. You know, then I went on to read the next article. Well, we land back in San Diego. We go out to the parking lot. I get in the car. We're driving home. I'm on the freeway going home. I almost hit the brakes. I said, wait a minute. We've lost 57% of everything that lives on the planet in 46 years. 57% of all the walruses, of all the bumblebees, of all the crickets, of all the hummingbirds, of all the elephants. 57% is the average across the planet in 46 years. Do you understand what that means? If everyone just thinks about that for a moment, do you understand what that means, that what we are doing to life on this planet, and what kind of a planet are your grandchildren inheriting? We have to wake up. We can't live this consumer life anymore. That's one of convenience. Well, I've been saving. I've got the money. I can I can buy this dot, 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 whatever it is, and then throw away half a bag of packaging to get one small thing that we just waste so much. And we have now this is the accurate statistic for right now. It's 250 pounds of toxic chemicals per person in the United States per day are being dumped. 250 pounds per person per day. That's 500 pounds for you and I. 500 pounds. That's 10 50-pound bags. Imagine them stacked up against a wall. That's one day of toxic chemicals being dumped in the U.S.
Well, and
every
we
day.
Think that recycling, we think recycling is going to handle that, but it's obviously
yeah,
not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
that
just a
that
step.
Was the thought in the 1970s. Recycling would do it. That's the thinking in the 1970s. And if you think that you're doing what you can for the health of the planet by recycling and that's all you do, well, these statistics will continue to get worse. I mean, it's just
horrific.
So the
situation is, it's just much larger than our own health. But let's get back to our own health. And
well, that's,
I have
well, that's
a question
what, that's
about
where I'm going with this. Yes, that's okay. Where I'm going with this, because for the first time in the history of the human species, the New England Journal of Medicine published on this, for the very first time ever for humans, children born today are going to get sick at an earlier age, get diagnosed with degenerative diseases at earlier ages, and die at an earlier age than their parents. Children born today
wow.
have a shorter projected lifespan than you. Now,
that's amazing.
Wake up. See, that's why I just did the thing about the planet and that we've killed off 57% of everything on the planet. And the higher concentrations above 57% are animals that live near fresh water. Well, they're drinking the water coming out of the streams. We're filtering the water. So the level of toxins we're getting mm-hmm. is not as severe. It's not as severe, but it's still so bad that kids have a shorter projected lifespan. We have to wake up. We're killing off not only the rest of the species, we're killing off the human species also. This is really a mess. And, you know, and I'm not a harbinger of doom. I'm really not. But if you don't know the problem, then you don't know what questions to ask. And if you don't ask questions, then you're going to be, excuse me, one of the ding-dong generation that just says, I feel bad, give me a pill, and I'll keep living the lifestyle that caused me to feel bad. That's why we've got the mess we've got.
I've watched The Truth About Cancer, the whole series. There were two series, and your series, and I attended the live event, so I'm very aware of all the foods that we should not be eating and how to eat healthy. And then I look at people at my health club, just all over the place, eating all these foods that are not helping. So I have another question. What you talk
that's
about
the,
this book, but
that's
what are the,
excuse me, that's the gasoline on the fire. Eating the foods that you know are not healthy. That's the gasoline on the fire that's fueling their disease.
But they're convenient, so they're doing two things. The food's convenient, and then they throw away the packaging, and that's damaging. But what are the three
exactly.
things necessary to develop an autoimmune disease? Can
okay, let's dial it down. Good question. Really good. Let's dial it down. Good. So there is a first, if I may say, that when you take a step back, there are many, many articles on this. This is just pure science. Cardiovascular disease is autoimmune in its initiating phases. Cancer is autoimmune. So the number one mechanism in getting sick and dying in the world today is your immune system attacking your own tissue. Maybe it'll manifest as a heart attack or a stroke. Maybe it'll manifest as cancer. Maybe it'll manifest as rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. The way it manifests can vary with your genetics. The number one mechanism is your immune system attacking your own tissue. So the next question is, well, why is my immune system attacking my own tissue? That should be the next question, and that's what you learn in betrayal, is you learn from all of the experts about these concepts and then start asking some questions. So one of the questions is, what is the trilogy in the development of autoimmune diseases? So I needed to set the context for that first. And the trilogy, yes, there are three things. There are three things. First, a genetic vulnerability to that particular condition. Doesn't mean you're going to get it when you have the genes. It means that you're vulnerable to it. Second, an environmental trigger that sets it off. The straw that breaks the camel's back. And the more toxins we're exposed to in our life, and they accumulate in our body, you hit a threshold. And then there's just one more straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, there's one more toxin you get, and that's it. It takes you over the edge, and here comes your symptoms, whatever they are, wherever they manifest. And third, a breakdown in the inside lining of the gut called intestinal permeability, or the slang term is the leaky gut. Those are the three components that are necessary for the development of practically every autoimmune disease. So what do you do? Well, you can't do anything about your genes, but you can do a lot as to whether your genes get turned on or not. And how do you do that? By looking at the environmental triggers, the gasoline you're throwing on the fire. Listen, people, if your car is blowing black smoke out of the exhaust pipe, you do not treat the exhaust pipe. But that's what we do with our bodies. If your symptoms are in your joints, we go to someone that treats your joints. The question is, how do I help my joints feel better right now? So thank you, doctor, for the prescription. But why are my joints inflamed? Where's it coming from? And our rheumatologists today have not been trained how diet and nutrition has a strong contributing factor to the development of diseases. They just don't know. They don't have training in medical school in nutrition. The National Academy of Science did a study in 2010 of 126, I think it was, medical schools in the U.S., and they found that 26% of them, so I remember 126 and 26, 26% of them met the minimum requirements for diet and nutrition courses in med school. 26% of them. That meant 74% did not. And that was in 2010.
And of those sessions, they may have only had like 3 hours.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And in 2015, they went back and they looked again, and it was 20%. It had gone down from 26% to 20% of the schools met the minimum requirement. Medical doctors are not trained in diet nutrition. They should not be giving diet nutrition advice unless they have postgraduate training, because they haven't had any training. And when your doctor says, well, you're doing better, it's really good to see, and you say, well, I've done this and this and this, I'm taking this vitamin and this, well, if it seems to help you, okay. You know that that's not a doc that you want to talk to about diet nutrition. You talk to them about their areas of expertise. So we cannot do anything about the genes, but we do a whole lot about the environmental triggers, what we're exposed to. And the most important one, the first one, is what's on the end of your fork. That's the one that makes the biggest difference. And that's the most challenging for people, is what's on the end of the fork, because they feel entitled. Well, I've been good all week. I deserve my blueberry muffins. I deserve it. We'll put that on your tombstone. Well, I deserve it. Excuse me, but we just have to wake up. We have to wake up.
All right, so let's get to some nitty-gritty. So one of the things that you talk about is gluten sensitivity. Is everybody sensitive to gluten? I mean, there are so many foods now that are gluten-free. And
that's a really good question. That's a very good question, yes. And the answer is there have been a number of studies. I've got five or six in my library. The most recent one that I'm aware of is Dr. Holland, H-O-L-L-O-N. You can just Google him online and get the study. It's free. Dr. Holland and his team at Harvard published a study where they say every human, when they're exposed to wheat, they get a tear in the lining of their gut called intestinal permeability. Remember, that was number three in the trilogy, the development of autoimmune disease. Every human gets intestinal permeability every time they're exposed to wheat. Now, the fastest growing cells in your body is the inside lining of your gut. every 3 to 7 days, you have a whole new lining to your gut, like the skin of a snake. But when you eat a toast for breakfast, you tear the lining of your gut. It heals. You have a sandwich for lunch, you tear the lining of your gut. It heals. You have pasta for dinner, you tear the lining of the gut. But it heals. Cookies, it heals. Croutons on your salad, but it heals. Day after day after week after month after year until one day, you don't heal anymore. And now you've got pathogenic intestinal permeability, the leaky gut, and now that's the third component in the mechanism of the development of autoimmune diseases. So now the mechanism begins. And when the mechanism begins, Mrs. Patient, if you pull at a chain, it breaks at the weakest link. It could be at one end, the middle, the other end, your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys, wherever your genetic weak link is, that's where the chain's going to break. So stop pulling on the chain. You know, stop throwing gasoline on the fire. So when you cross that line, and now you have intestinal permeability that doesn't heal naturally, now you're pulling on the chain. And somewhere in your bloodstream, those antibodies are going to be traveling along, and if the weak link in your chain is the brain, they go after your brain. And you get autoimmune mechanisms in your brain, which is part of what Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia is. If they're traveling through the blood and they go to your joints, you get arthritis or pain in your joints. And it may manifest as rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. If the weak link in your chain is your kidney, it goes to your kidneys. And the inflammation goes to your kidneys, and you get recurrent kidney infections or bladder infections. It just depends on where the weak link in the chain is as to where it's going to manifest. That's why it doesn't matter what the symptoms are. What matters is that you ask, where are these symptoms coming from? You, of course, want to do some treatment to get rid of the symptoms. Nobody likes to suffer. Of course, you take the medicines that your doctor prescribes. But you also ask the question, why do I need these medicines? How can I turn it around and make my body healthier? And if they say it's not possible, you know that you need to add a new doctor to your team, that's not the doctor to ask that question to. And then you find a functional medicine practitioner.
And before we talk about what a functional medicine practitioner is, I would love you to talk about what foods should people be eating? What should they avoid? Just some overview. I know your book goes into a lot of detail, but some general guidelines.
Yes, it does.
Maybe.
Yes, I'll give you some general guidelines. In 2004, the British Medical Journal published a paper called The Poly Pill, Reduced Cardiovascular Disease by Over 80%. And what they did was that they read a lot of studies, a bunch of studies. It's called a meta-analysis when you read a bunch of studies and is there a common theme. And what they said is that, you know, if we could put a pill together that had a statin to lower cholesterol, two blood pressure medications, a beta blocker, a low-dose aspirin, and some folic acid, we would reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by over 80%. And that was when newspapers all over the country had front-page articles, doctors want everyone on cholesterol-lowering drugs. That was 2004. 10 months later, another paper comes out in the British Medical Journal. The Poly Meal, a healthier and tastier alternative to the poly pill, reduced cardiovascular disease by over 75%. And these authors did the same type of meta-analysis. They followed the exact same procedures, so no one could argue with them, because in pushing for the drugs, this is the procedure they use, and no one argues with that line of thinking called a meta-analysis. So they did a meta-analysis on food, and what did they find? If you eat this way, you reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by over 75%. Cold water fish, 4 times a week. Just about 1 pound of vegetables a day. A full pound.
When you say,
and I add to it.
When you say cold water, what is cold water fish? Most people don't really know that.
Cold water fish are fish that live in cold water. That's like salmon, pike, trout, herring, mackerel, halibut, smelt, fish like that.
Okay.
Four times a week. A pound of vegetables a day. A pound. And I add to that five different colors. Every color is a different family of antioxidants, polyphenols, really good components that are in vegetables. So don't eat a bag of carrots. Eat some carrots and some broccoli and some purple cabbage and some red tomato. And you get five colors a day. A little bit of fresh almonds. A little bit of fresh garlic. 5 ounces of red wine. And a little bit of dark chocolate every day. Every day.
Wow, a lot of people would be happy with that.
Yeah, but this is how you eat dark chocolate so that you don't gain weight and throw your blood sugar out of balance. You buy the very best dark chocolate you can find. You take a square, break off a square, and you put it in your mouth under your tongue. Don't let it touch your teeth. When you let it sit there, you don't let it touch your teeth, it dissolves over 2 or 3 minutes, constantly flooding your taste buds with the message going up to your brain, chocolate's here. Chocolate. Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And you start producing these endorphins and these enkephalons in your brain that are 200 times more powerful than morphine. And one square is all you need to get a nice, pleasant, euphoric feeling. And if you want more, have another square. I've never had a patient have more than 2 squares when they do this. So you can have the highest quality dark chocolate every day. Every day, like this. So those are basic principles that the British Medical Journal told us reduces your risk of cardiovascular disease by 75%. In my book, I take it a little bit farther.
What about fats and oils? Anything in there about that?
Healthy fats, such as in, you know, the Mediterranean diet approach, olive oil, avocado oil, avocados, some fresh nuts are great for you. You don't have to be fanatical about, listen, there's no one diet that's right for everyone. It bothers me when vegans say everyone should be vegan, vegetarians say everyone should be vegetarian, paleo say everybody should be paleo. You know, Mediterranean diet says everyone should be Mediterranean diet. That's not true. Humans have lived for tens of thousands of years all over the planet eating different foods. Our ancestors were herders. They ate meat. It wasn't until they became agriculturally oriented in the last 10% of our existence on the planet, the last 10,000 years, and it's about 10% they estimate, we've been eating grains. So many people do really well not eating any grains. That's the paleo approach.
And I wanted to ask about that. What about steel-cut oats for oatmeal? Is that bad for you?
Well, you know, it's grains. And I personally don't have a problem with grains, but you asked the question after I talked about being grain-free. So first I have to say it's a grain. Now, is steel-cut oats bad for you? When oats grow out of the ground, there is no toxic gluten in them. But when you buy oats off the shelf, there's toxic gluten in them. It's contamination.
Mm-hmm.
The trucks that harvest the oats in the fields and haul it to the manufacturing facility hauled wheat last week. They don't clean the trucks. So you get contamination in the oats. Now, if you get gluten-free oats, that's a different story. And I let my patients have gluten-free oats in the first 3 weeks. And the rule of thumb in my office is you better be feeling better within 3 weeks. I don't care what you have. It doesn't matter. Not that you're fixed, but you should notice within 3 weeks, hey, I'm sleeping better, or my pain is reduced. It's only 3 times a week where it's intense instead of every day. Or you just should notice that you're getting better within 3 weeks. So I have a 3-week recommended diet program that's in the book. It's no gluten, so that's no wheat, rye, or barley, no gluten, no dairy, no sugar for 3 weeks. Oats are okay in there, as long as they're gluten-free.
All right,
oats.
A few more questions. What about caffeine and eggs or meat?
There are many studies that show that coffee is of benefit to people. There are many studies that show coffee is not of benefit for people. So it just depends. Now, if you happen to carry the gene CYP1B1. If you have that gene, you are at high risk of having a problem with coffee. And about 30% of Caucasians carry that gene. And for them, it produces high amounts of the bad cholesterol. And there's, I think it was triple. I'm not sure about the number. It may have been a little less than triple. But I think it was triple the number of heart attacks in people who drink coffee that have CYP1B1 compared to people drinking the same amount of coffee who did not have CYP1B1. Triple the amount of heart attacks. So is coffee good for you? Coffee gives everybody a buzz. I mean, is it good to have a buzz? Is it good for me to give myself a buzz? I mean, it's legal. Is it a legal buzz? I mean, I drink coffee on occasion. There's nothing wrong with that, but I can't tell you that it's good for you. It doesn't have any medicinal qualities that are unique to that plant or that product that you can't get without the potential side effects from something else.
Okay, and we mentioned this before, and I wanted to ask about, again, there's so much valuable information. I want to get everything I can for the listeners. And the questions that a lot of people have, I have two areas, about sugar, you know, what that does, why that's bad. You mentioned a few things. And also about addictions, like alcohol addiction. So just talk about that.
Okay,
you mentioned
sugar. Really?
You could explain.
Is there anyone out there that thinks sugar is good for you? Raise your hand. Right? I mean, come on.
But it can make you happy at a party.
Well, yeah. They'll put that on your tombstone. She was happy at parties because she ate her sugar. I mean, you know, you want to be healthy. You want to be sort of healthy. What do you want? What do you want? We're killing the planet. We are killing the planet with the way we think, with the way that we're not focused in our intent in what we declare of what we want for ourselves, our health and our lives. Well, I can cheat once in a while. Well, I can pollute once in a while. You know, we have to wake up. It requires a level of commitment to life for ourselves and life for our planet. No, sugar's not good for you. I mean, that's obvious. There's no one that I've ever met that thinks sugar is good for you. They just don't think it's a problem for them. That's different. Well, no, I can handle a little sugar once. Oh, really? You want to do my blood test and then come back again and say that? Yeah, because I'll show
but
you.
But you did talk about but you talked about how it makes you feel good, the gluteomorphine. So just
yes,
and,
yes. That's
and that
with,
there are
we,
opiate
yeah.
receptors. So tell about that.
Sure. Mrs. Patient, protein is like a pearl necklace. Hydrochloric acid undoes the clasp of the pearl necklace. Now you're holding a string of pearls. Our enzymes, our digestive enzymes, are supposed to be scissors that cut the pearl necklace into smaller pieces and smaller pieces and smaller pieces until they're just individual pearls called amino acids that go right through the intestines into the bloodstream. But the bigger clumps of the pearl necklace are not supposed to get into the bloodstream. They're too big. They've got to be made smaller and smaller and smaller. You've already heard me say that no human can break down wheat. And that was what they showed at Harvard last year. Holland and his team showed that. So we've got these clumps of protein from wheat, poorly digested wheat. One of them is called gluteomorphins. It's a clump of proteins. Another one is from dairy. It's the same concept, not breaking down dairy completely into the proteins of the individual amino acids. And with dairy, it's called caseomorphins. So it's gluteomorphins with wheat, caseomorphins with dairy. And they stimulate the opiate receptors in your body, so you feel good. So, you know, you eat a sandwich, you get these gluteomorphins, they stimulate the opiate receptor. Again, 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 toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, pasta for dinner, toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, and ravioli for dinner. Hitting your opiate receptors. You feel good. You know, I don't have a problem with wheat. I just like it. Oh, I don't have a problem with dairy. I just like it. Oh, yeah, it's because you feel good with it. And when you take those foods away.
And does alcohol do the same thing?
alcohol also stimulates the opiate receptors.
Also.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It also stimulates the opiate receptors, but it has a number of other mechanisms by which it impacts on us. But the gluteomorphins, mm-hmm. the casomorphins, they stimulate the opiate receptors. That's why some people just have a difficult time giving up these foods. They're addicted to the stimulant effect of the food. So those people have mm-hmm. to transition. They have to transition slowly. They don't just go cold turkey.
Mm. Wow. Well, this is a whole way of thinking and approaching
yes.
your life and your diet.
That's exactly right. It's a whole way of thinking and approaching your life and your diet. That's exactly right. And it's because we have to wake up. And some people may be a little rigid and they don't want to change. Well, I'm 65. I'm not going to change. Yeah, you know, you're the baby boomer generation. I'm part of that group. And so many of my friends have rigidity. They're rigid. And if you like things the way that you do them, I just like it like this. I'm going to keep it like this. Then you're polluting the planet. Then you're accelerating the loss of wildlife and accelerating the degenerative diseases in humans. Every time we buy coffee and in yourself, every time you buy a coffee from a coffee shop in those little paper cups that have the shiny inside to them, that inside is bisphenol A inside the paper cup, and the lid, the soft plastic, is full of bisphenol A. You put a hot liquid into it, and the liquid steams up to the underside of the lid, condenses on the underside of the lid, falls back down into the liquid with bisphenol A, and then you put the cup up to your lips with the lid on it, and the liquid is hitting the underside of the lid, and so it's tapering down into the opening, and so you're drinking it with more bisphenol A, and bisphenol A binds to your estrogen receptors. It's as potent molecule for molecule as the strongest woman's estrogen called estradiol. Bisphenol A, molecule for molecule, is as strong as estradiol. This is why this is one of the contributors to cognitive decline, hormone-related problems, menopausal symptoms, autoimmune diseases, a lot of inflammation. Bisphenol A is just one chemical. Every newborn child that's tested in America today, every child has on average 283 toxic chemicals in their bloodstream that are not supposed to be there at birth. We have a million kids a year now.
We could go on.
A million kids a year.
Your information is so amazing.
Go ahead.
That we're running out of time. And I would love you to tell about what is the functional medicine doctor that can help people with these issues. Tell us a little bit about that, the training and who these people are, how someone can find a functional medicine practitioner to work with.
Sure, of course. First, in my book, I talk all about functional medicine, and I give the websites to find all of that, to find practitioners. And then in Betrayal, we interviewed a number of functional medicine practitioners, so you listen to them. You listen to how they think, and then we give you the link. You can go there. You go to the link is functionalmedicine.org, and you look for a certified functional medicine practitioner. Functional medicine is when your exhaust is spewing black smoke out of the exhaust pipe, go take a look at the engine. That's functional medicine. Don't just treat the exhaust pipe. Of course you might treat the exhaust pipe. Of course you treat the symptoms, but you go up and you look at the engine. Say, what's going on in here? What's wrong? That's functional medicine. That's and it's any discipline. You can be a chiropractor. You can be a medical doctor, an acupuncturist, a nurse practitioner, a naturopath. Any licensed healthcare practitioner can go through the training, and it's 3.5 years of training, and then a vigorous test. And so you find a certified functional medicine practitioner at functionalmedicine.org, and you're lucky to find someone who should be able to help you from this line of thinking. And the best thing that someone could do, I think, is to watch Betrayal. It's betrayalseries.com. It'll drop your jaw. Just drop your jaw again and again. I promise.
Well, Dr. O'Brien, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you today, and I know the listeners are going to learn a lot. And is there some way for them to get in touch with you or to get your book?
Oh, thank you. The book's on Amazon, but if you go to my site to get the book, we'll send you to Amazon. But before we do that, we'll send you a bunch of handouts and things to help you understand more of the topic, like hidden sources of wheat or hidden sources of gluten, like in your cosmetics, in your shampoo, what foods, what sauces, all that kind of stuff. So if you go to the website, thedr.com, that's thedoctor.com, but don't spell the word doctor out, just DR, thedr.com. And you can order the book from there.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and I wish everyone Godspeed in finding greater levels of health.